All right. Well, we'd like to, on behalf of the NCC, MDMC, and NDS leadership, we'd like to welcome you to our latest iteration of the StrokeNet in-person meeting. We used to do this twice a year when you started. We started, as you remember, and now we're doing once a year, but it's sweeter because it's so nice to see people in person. You don't get to do that as often anymore, even after COVID is kind of washed mostly away. But it's nice to see everybody, and it's good to reflect. This is our 10-year anniversary since the award was first made in 2013. It's also great to reflect all the great things that we've accomplished as a team. Very proud of what we've accomplished as a group. You should all be very proud. We have some older faces, all of us older faces, but we also have some new faces today, which is really exciting as well. And really, this is our kickoff for our next 5 years. We've accomplished a lot, but the next 5 years, we hope will even be better and we'll even do greater things as we go forward. We have a busy schedule today. We want this to be interactive. Again, the idea is we want you to be the speakers as much as people you're going to hear talking about. And we've tried to survey your thoughts before that happened, but we want you to be talking today as well. Now, this is also a transition point from us at the NCC. So Pooja and I have been, you know, the multiple PIs for the NCC. But as of this iteration, Pooja is going to be becoming the contact PI for the NCC. So I mean, she has to bear all the issues and problems and stuff, but not true. But anyway, I'm very excited about that. But I'm going to turn things over to her, and she's going to introduce some of our new people.
Thank you so much, Joe. And I just have to say that it's amazing to see where we are in 10 years and under your leadership. And so, and to think about where we're going next is going to be our goal for this meeting more than anything, and trying to learn from that. So I'll start by welcoming you all from the NCC and the NDMC. So you know me and Joe. Laura Benkin is here on the far end, and she's our administrative co-director. And she's really been holding down the fort lately, single-handedly, and we're really grateful to her for that. Jamie Frazier is unfortunately not here. She's had a family medical situation, but she's also on the verge of retirement. And if she's listening, I know she'd want you to know how disappointed she was, because several old friends are here and she just really wanted to see people in person before she retired, but that couldn't happen. But we'll make a point of honoring her at a virtual meeting and, of course, locally in person and things like that. And for anyone who missed it, we are absolutely thrilled to have Iris Davis joining us. Iris was leading the Most trial as the second co-administrative co-director. Iris is on maternity leave, so she's keeping really busy right now, and we're excited to get her back. She has a very cute baby. We have many managers, and I am not going to read all their names, but as you know, we have NCC project managers. We have the managers of our cores, but I am going to shout out those who are in the room. And I think I've got this list right, unless someone missed a last minute flight or something. But is Harriet out there? There's Harriet. So she's running Rhapsody too. And it's always exciting for us because she's coming from remote. So we get to see her in person, which is fun. And then Leslie Butler, another remote colleague here somewhere. There she is. And so Leslie is running Captiva on the NCC side. And then we've got Christina Francois. There she is, running Aspire. And Joelle Sickler, who's been running Sleep Smart here somewhere. She will be. She's not. I know she's here. And then we've got Melissa Hoffman, who did Most. There she is. And she's keeping busy closing up, so you know her face. And then Maxwell Mays is here too. And he was running, he's been running Transport too, and he's also now helping with Verify, and he's also been running iAcquire. And then we've got Callie Beasley, who's now the Verify Prime project manager and wrapping up Active 4A. Emily Stinson, way in the back somewhere, I think. Where is she? There she is. Emily has an important role today. She is watching the chat, and I want to say, I'm sorry we don't have a voice for you in the chat, but Emily will be your voice. And we're going to try to ask all our speakers to keep an eye on Emily, and Emily's not shy. She's going to let us know when there are some questions and try to get them in there. So, and hopefully on the chat, are you hearing that they can hear us okay? Wonderful. Okay, good. And then the imaging core, we're so pleased to have Vivek Khandwala here. He's our imaging manager. A lot of your staff know him and we're really grateful for his efforts. Eva Mistry has a new role that's starting officially with the competitive renewal, although she's doing it already, which is as our trial budget and operations planning liaison. She's a former StrokeNet fellow and many things, but now far along from that with trials of her own, as you all know well. So, and then next to her is Yasmin Aziz, and she is going to be our digital content physician liaison. Yasmin, wave. I know you're shy. And I'll just make a slight comment, which is that a preview, we're going to dive into it this time, but that's going to start again with the new grant December 1st. We're still working out the thought processes, but we're expecting some sort of committee of various stakeholders to help us think about how to kind of post relevant information and help bring the community together. So if that's something that excites you and you have ideas, like why doesn't StrokeNet do this or that, talk to Yasmin. And then last but not least from the NCC side is Rose Beckman. Where is Rose? So she is probably outside. We'll embarrass her later. But as many of you know who've been around for a while, she works very hard on these meetings and she tries to think of everything and she does a wonderful job and we're so thankful for her. So, and there she is. So I think she gets a round of applause. Started off the meeting with a lovely day. And then on the NDMC side, and Jordan, feel free to chime in here, but Jordan is leading the charge and as our NDMC PI.
Is it on? Oh, hi, I'm Jordan Elm. My co-PIs on the NDMC side are Catherine Dillon and Wenli Zhao. Wenli's back there. Not with us is Jessica Griffin, Associate Director of Trial Ops. And we also have another role, NDMC Program Manager, which Logan Williams was filling. And now that has been taken over by Jocelyn Craven. Logan is going to be the STEP Project Director. And then we've got several people from the Statistical Core here, Renee Martin, Christy Casserly, Jonathan Beal, and Sherry Livingston. You guys want to wait?
Great, great. So just wanted to give you a sense of who all is here, but it's important to note, I put that icon on to make sure I don't forget to say that there are so many people not here, and you all know that make this whole machine happen, and with absolutely critical roles, many of them who are either listening online or busy doing the work that needs to get done. So we're on both sides, the NCC and NDMC. This is just a minority of the team that we've listed. We're really excited to have three RCCs that went in competitively as new RCCs join us in this round of, I think, what we're going to call StrokeNet 3.0. I like the sound of that. It's like an upgrade. That's the plan. We got to upgrade as we get all these new trials and get better and better. Wayne, are you here somewhere? There you are. And I have to say also, unfortunately, we really will have to stick with the mics because so I won't actually get you to announce your team. It'll probably get a little cumbersome, but we have to stick with the mics so that the online people can hear us. And so, but Wayne, Wayne is multiple PI with David Huang, who I just met last night. Good to see you. And then was there anyone else from your team here? I can shout it out. Great. Well, welcome. Thank you for coming. And then Jay Mako, is he here? I don't think he made it in yet, but I did see Cynthia, their lead project manager, somewhere to the left. Okay. It's really hard to see up here. There she is. Okay, great. And I think Aaron Lord was going to be here, but not Mark Mailer. There he is. Wonderful. Well, welcome aboard. And then Michelle Torby couldn't make it, but we're really glad to see. So many of these faces are people we know very well and already working very closely with, and it's really well-deserved to have them come through in this competitive renewal. We have our 24 returning RCCs, and I won't like go through it in great detail just because we'll be here all morning, but I will just ask you to raise your hand if you're part of the team so we can get a feel that, you know, who all is here. How about the Wake Forest team? There they are, led by Cheryl Bushnell. And then how about the Emory team? Great, welcome. And then the Alabama Stroke Belt Stroke Net team. There you guys are, great. And Philadelphia Regional, awesome. Anthony Kim and the NorCal team, wonderful. And how about the Stanford team? I know I've seen several of you. And the Iowa team and UT StrokeNet. We've got the Columbia Cornell team, the San Diego team, Ohio Valley. A lot of new names, by the way, which will take us a while to get used to. And I really like these inclusive names that help you kind of feel the sense of the region that they're representing. How about the Mid-America team? There they are. And then the Chicago team. It's a very big city they represent there. Yep. And then Pittsburgh. Great. Florida. There you are. It's really hard to see from up here. Los Angeles, Southern California. Where are you guys? There you. No?
Way in the back.
Way in the back. Okay. Gulf Regional and New England. Wonderful. And this name will be swapped out very soon officially. Anish Singhal is taking the reins from Lee Schwamm. So congratulations on that. University of Michigan and Southern New England. There you guys are, Upper Midwest, all together there. And Case Western, among others, and that whole name I won't say, thanks. Southeast, there they are, and Central Atlantic. Okay, great. Well, thank you again for being here, and we hope it's a productive day for you. So I wanted to also introduce some new players on our leadership team. You know that one of the things we've been really excited about are some new StrokeNet cores that will start officially December 1st with the competitive renewal. And they're already kind of rearing to go, and you're going to hear from them later today. So we have the CRP Education and Training Core, and we're so pleased. And I think this is the first announcement of it, that Kinga Aitken and Hina Dalde are going to be co-chairing that core and doing some really important work. And I'd love for you to stand up if you wouldn't mind, both of you. Where are you? Yes. Congratulations and well-deserved. And we can already feel your energy in the discussion. So frankly, I think this is one of the most important things, because I think you'll recall when we had the last meeting a year ago, that was probably our dominant discussion, which is all this turnover of coordinators. Everyone's green. How are we going to get this work done? How do we help them belong? And we sort of relied a lot on the institutions, but we think it's going to take more. So here it is. And we're excited about that. And then we all knew that DEI needed a lot more effort. And Bernadette, we finally got her some effort and a partner with Leslie Scolaris. So yay. And Leslie, where are you? I hope you'll stand up for everybody. So we're really pleased to have you on board. Thank you. And then, of course, the Fellowship Education Training Corps, which needs no introduction, but Randy, and I think Devin couldn't make it, but I know Randy is here. There he is. And really, it is just a pillar of strength. I mean, the numbers I've told you several times, but it's just something to be so proud of, with, you know, half of our graduates continuing to stay in research and 10%, more than 10% getting K grants. And that's not counting other career development awards. I mean, it's quite impressive. And then for our advisory committees, there are two new advisory committees. And one is our patient representative committee. As you know, we integrated patient representatives into our working groups, but we're going to make this a formal committee with the competitive renewal. And it even comes with some funding for their time. And I'm so pleased to say that Flannery O'Neill is here. Flannery, where are you? Does anyone see her? It's so hard with the lights for me. She might not be here just yet. But for those of you who are on the acute working group, she's been a great voice. She comes with an MPH, and she brings a lot of important and thoughtful perspectives. Our budgets are going to allow us to bring all our patient representatives, and I think that will truly be the best way to do this. So we're pleased about that. And then we did kind of re-energize the preclinical advisory committee that was sort of available in the past, but kind of gave it some tasks. And I want to put that bug in all of your ears, which is when we're on working groups, when we're discussing something and you're hearing animal data and you're saying, what does that mean? How rigorous is that? That's when we want to activate them. We want to have them a part of our dialogues, and they'll be building their groups. Some of the new committees will be building their memberships. So keep that in mind too. If there's a committee that really excites you, that now's the time to start thinking about that. The pediatrics and telestroke committees have been strong committees led by Heather Fullerton in pediatrics and telestroke. Chris Stribe, I know you're here somewhere. And we've made your committee official. It's sort of a homegrown committee, and now it's officially on board, and it deserved that much earlier. You and Abby have brought so much energy to that committee and got some great papers now coming out about e-consent soon. So that's great, and describing the network and how we handle that. And then our working groups. So our acute working groups, Karen Johnston and Jeff Saver, co-chairs. Karen is here somewhere. She'll be leading a discussion later today. And then is Jeff Saver here? I haven't laid eyes on him yet. Okay, he's probably on his way. And then in prevention, we've got Houman Kamel, who is going to talk to us about some of the domain-specific issues. So glad about that. And then Mark Chimowitz is not here, and he's with us for about 6 more months before he does a full retirement. So I'd also like to announce that Scott Kasner is going to be our co-chair for the prevention working group. And we are so pleased to have him on board. He brings a lot of great knowledge. So where is he? Is he here somewhere? There he is. So congratulations and thank you. Recovery rehab, Steve Kramer was on his way in. Hopefully he made it somewhere here, but he will soon. And then Steve Wolf, I think, has joined us online. So more discussions to come with the working groups. As far as the trials go and the studies, the count is 21 right now. So 11 prevention, 5 acute stroke treatment, 3 recovery and rehab. And then at this point, that's actually 1 active 4C wrapped up, but active 4A is still in follow-up. So and their teams, many of them are here, and we're again, just this room is just full of just such a diversity of people that make all this happen. I want to point out and give a huge round of applause to the Arcadia and most teams. It's incredible to have these 2 behemoth trials give us answers this year. So congratulations to them. And you know, when I say teams, we're saying the patients, the study teams locally, the leadership of the trials, the leadership of the coordinating centers, the leadership of NINDS. It's just mind-boggling, the scale of people who make these happen. And, you know, and they're both game changers in terms of our thought process of what we're doing with both those diseases. So, and then active 4A is wrapping up, and it's also actually given us more recently futile trials, although the first futile answers, although the first study actually defined how we do anticoagulation for our patients, as you know. Countless others, not in this room, like I said, and it's worth noting that we last did count, we had 200 hospitals across the country associated with your RCCs that had enrolled at least 1 patient. So that's kind of what the number in my head of who we're engaging as far as hospitals around the country. And then also we have some international hospitals, which make it into that list. This is the latest graph. When I showed you this graph a year ago, we were at almost 10,000 enrolled. So 2,000 more, not too shabby. We've enrolled over 6,000 patients, randomized over 6,000 patients. And you'll see something that is really, I think, exciting and kind of uplifting, I think, after all the way we struggled through some of those COVID surges. Even though Arcadia, just focus on this red line here, even though Arcadia stopped enrolling here, we are still up there. And if anything, we're going up. So it's just telling me the work and the energy is just increasing, not decreasing. And you can see most ended right here. And I don't, and hopefully we'll just kind of keep on this trajectory despite it as the new trials come on board. So anyways, that is my welcome and introduction. So many people to introduce and so many people to talk to. And that is actually one of the key goals of today, which is to just continue building our community, get to know the new people in the room, revisit with the old people, exchange ideas, and do better. One of the things, our main focus for today, we debated this and we decided that, you know, we're meeting for the first time as StrokeNet 3.0. So we want to focus harder, focus really on the operational challenges and opportunities. What are the targeted future efforts we should be doing, both within each of your teams? Like, what are you hearing that you're like, I need to go back home and do this? And what are we hearing on the NCC, NDMC, and NINDS level? Like, should we be making task forces in certain areas and things like that? And then I just want to kind of whet your appetite to say, we're one of the things that we're going to keep working on, and you saw the survey questions about it, but we won't delve into it too much, is we've been charged with helping NINDS think about where the unmet need and priorities are in stroke research, which I think is very cool. And that's going to be very fun work that I look forward to doing all together. So we're to facilitate 1 to 2 targeted future open conferences organized by StrokeNet. And so that survey data has got our wheels turning. We talked as an executive committee last night, and I think we're going to have several iterative conversations at our steering committee calls and our executive calls and start to hone this down. And then it's just worth saying as I'm starting to wrap up that, you know, it's worth remembering what our mission is, which is NINDS established us to harness the leadership, the incredible expertise in this room and the incredible experience in this room to efficiently create and complete high quality multi-site trials related biomarker validation studies and ancillary studies. So that's what we're doing. And if you're in the wrong room, no, I'm just kidding. I do want to actually touch on last year, because I think it's sometimes we're so in the midst of it, we don't take a step back, but we came home last year with an action list. And so I just want to show you that action list and show you where we've gotten. I mean, part of it was just keeping busy, keeping things afloat and working hard on that, but we've made progress. So this was the list that Laura built for us, and we worked on it, and we kind of divided up them up into high, medium, and low priority. We also got a list like this from our retreat within our NCC. The first one was the DEI core, starting December 1st, as we discussed. There was input about more guidance on prime trial budgeting, and that's where Eva's role comes in, and we've got additional resources that she's developing. And then we talked about budgets for translating for outcome assessments in addition to the ICFs. And there are currently in template form. And I can tell you, Eva can potentially comment on this later, but she's been trying to get make sure that she advises new proposal PIs on the key elements that need to be in budgets. We also talked about improving those budgets for screening and local PI efforts. And I want you to know that's there now. So every submission that's going in is getting a boost based. I mean, it's not amazing. At the end of the day, if anyone's been reading the newspaper, you know, we're not swimming in money, but it does give us some sort of improvement, I should say. And Eva can touch on that later if people are interested in having her comment about that. There was a lot of discussion last year about leveraging CTA resources. We reflected on the fact that we are very actively using REDCap and e-consent, which is completely based on CTSA resources. We've met with our local CTSA and discussed opportunities for CRP education. And what we kind of envision is when the CRP core starts, that there'll be an opportunity to think about, you know, what resources we have across the country. So keep that in mind through the year when if you see things your CTSA is doing particularly well, that we might kind of adapt more widely. I should note that, you know, CTSAs are very local affairs in some ways. And so that's part of it. Like, there isn't just one national coordinating center, for example. So keep that in mind. And I mentioned the coordinator education training development. That's what the CRP education training core is all about. And kind of there in yellow are all coordinator and project manager related activities that came out last year. For example, calling everyone consistently, RCC project managers versus coordinators who are enrolling in the trials or leading a given trial, to just get some consistency in StrokeNet, regardless of what everyone's called at home, but just so people know where they fit in. We started the quarterly RCC project manager meetings, and Laura's led the helm of that. And I would say they've been very successful, and we can tell just from the conversations that even happened yesterday, because we can feel the sense of community and voice. There was some requests for RPPR report training, and that's something we're kind of talking about updating the website. And we found many webinars to help you with that. We tried to get a group rate on SOCRA. I just getting into the minutia for a minute, but I just want you to know we tried because that was a conversation topic. Laura tried. But there is some discussion about getting materials for continuing education. We pushed trials to do office hours, especially during startup, because we heard you that you needed like a place to go with your questions sometimes very conveniently. We talked about learning sort of mentoring groups, sort of like the learning communities that have happened with the fellows. And that's something that we've sort of debated and then sort of decided we'll see what the CRP core thinks and what the group thinks is the best format for that as time goes on. And then last but not least, something on our to-do list is having a talk at our steering committee about site PI education, specifically roles and responsibilities relative to coordinators. And I think some of that's going to come out today, but we want to create a wider discussion that you can actually have your PIs watch, your trial PIs. So that's the goal. I know many groups, including my own, are actually building a curriculum around that, like Stacey Demmel at the RCC. And I imagine some of you have that too. So we might be able to pool resources on that. So as for the rest of the day, Scott Janis is going to speak next. And I think you're going to find he's going to introduce his NINDS colleagues. And I think you're going to find a lot of important content in there. We're thrilled to have three leading RCCs, Miami, WashU, and UT Houston, talk to us about their recipes for success. We're going to have a break, and I just want to say the people on the East Coast should definitely have their snack. We usually make the West Coast people suffer, but this time we're going to make the East Coast people suffer a little because lunch isn't until 1 o'clock. The reason is we want to be able to have a meaty discussion then around domain-specific considerations from the surveys about the operational challenges and with a forward-looking approach of what can we do to improve them with what we've got right now. So we're going to start with recovery because we often end with recovery and that's no good. And then prevention. And then just when you're getting hungry and jumpy, I think the high energy acute doctors can and coordinators can get us all the way there. And then finally, Leslie Scolaris to help her catch her flight, which we're so glad she's here and able to meet you all. She and Bernadette are going to give you a 15-minute brief kind of introduction to their thoughts as we sort of hit the DEI core and StrokeNet 3.0. We're going to break for lunch, and I'm going to ask that only the coordinators leave at lunch first because they are doing a working lunch, and so we want to give them time to swiftly get to their room. Our coordinators and project managers are going to have their own lunch buffet, so we won't be in the way, and then you can go ahead and get started, and then the rest of the audience can go ahead and get their lunch buffets around here. And I've been asked to mention there are actually two rooms here available right next door to the breakout room 7-Eleven that is for the project managers and coordinators. And they're empty. They're set up as classrooms and they can be moved around. So if anyone's just, you know, gets a little claustrophobic in here, you just want to have a focused discussion with somebody, you could go off there. That'd be a good place to sit. When we get back, we'll very much look forward to Hina and Karen telling us about what they discussed at that breakout. We'll move on to an update from Randy about the education and training core for the fellows. We'll hear about the thought processes and plans from the new CRP education training core. We'll discuss a few new trial updates, and then we'll wrap up with any last things. And you should be out of here by 3:45. So that's the big picture. Anything to add there with the agenda? Okay, great. Housekeeping. There's the password if anyone needs it for the wireless internet. I think there's a public one that doesn't ask you for a password too, potentially, but that one I know works. And then again, this is live streamed and recorded. So be cognizant of that. We want to talk at the mics. We want you to introduce yourself so they know who's talking. And so we all get to know each other. This, because this is recorded, file that away, because I know many team members, we couldn't afford, frankly, to bring all the people who should be here. And so this, you know, directing them to the recording will be a good way to kind of share some knowledge. And then I mentioned the chat questions with Emily Stimson. And if any speakers want to update their slides, our audio visual group is in the back over there to my left. They're available for real-time slide upload, and they're managing our slides, which we really appreciate. And I should also say our audiovisual group is from Israel. So they've been doing a fantastic job already of organizing everything, but you can imagine that there's a lot more important things on their mind, including the safety of their loved ones back home. And I think I can speak for the group when I say that our thoughts are very much with them. Sort of no words for that. So with that, I'll end. I'll pass things on to Scott Janis, and thank you for your attention.